So in case you didn't know, we are entering into a Christmas season. Maybe the lights gave it away, I don't know. Maybe the greenery, whatever. But, you know, Christmas is one of those amazing times of the year. It gives us a concentrated opportunity to really, truly reflect on the greatest gift that we have ever received. And most of us probably remember, oh, that special Christmas when we got that bike or we got that Red Ryder BB gun that you'll shoot your eye out with. You know, maybe you remember that special gift, that one thing you really wanted, and it came, and we remember those great gifts, those times that are just burned into our memory. But Christmas is more than just the physical stuff that we receive from family members. Not only did we receive the greatest gift, and again, everybody knows, I mean, I hope you know that as Christians, we're not privy to Jesus' actual birth date. Whether he was born on December 25th really doesn't matter. The fact that he came to earth is really the important thing. And so we did. We received this amazing gift that was ever given by the greatest gift giver in the universe. Out of his lavish love and out of his immense mercy and grace, we all know God sent his son. That's what John 3:16 says. Born miraculously, a human in every way that we are except without sin, this baby came to earth, but he didn't accidentally come. He came on a mission. He knew exactly why he was there, and he knew exactly what he was supposed to do. And at the right time, as Jerry has already established, he sacrificially died. He shed his blood to buy the penalty of our sins. In other words, he redeemed us at just the right time. And what is more amazing, is that God involved his creation in allowing this to happen. Now think about that. The God of the universe didn't have to include humans, but he wanted to. This month we're going to take a look at three of the personalities that God used during this Christmas time. We're going to look at Mary, we're going to look at Joseph, and we're going to look at King Herod. Now, most of us are familiar with each one of their stories. Mary is who we're going to look at first, found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. If you want to turn to that passage of Scripture and follow along while I read. Luke chapter 1, starting verse 26. In the sixth month, and I've got to stop there because you might be wondering, the sixth month of what? Not the sixth month of the year, but in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And we'll talk a little bit about Elizabeth's pregnancy as we get into this. But in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. And you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be? Mary asks. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. An amazing story. Tradition says that Mary was pretty young. Mary said, the Bible says that Mary was not only young, but according to both Matthew and Luke, she was pledged to be married to Joseph. That's what it says in verse 18 of chapter 1 of Matthew. It says the same thing in Luke. Now, in Jewish tradition, a betrothal or a pledge happened before the actual marriage, but it carried just as much weight as marriage. In fact, the betrothal time is called the kiddushin in Jewish language. The word literally means sanctification. And so during this time, the groom would exchange a ring with the bride, just like you would do in a wedding ceremony, except the marriage had not yet taken place. In other words, the consummation of the marriage had not happened. But the commitment was still there. And this stage in their relationship was often preceded by a blessing, which was followed by a reading of a contract by the rabbi. That marriage contract was called the ketubah. And by all Jewish tradition, once a person was betrothed, it was permanent. You didn't get out of a betrothal or a pledge. It isn't like when people give promise rings today and then they break that promise because it really doesn't mean anything, or an engagement ring today, but, you know, well, an engagement ring is just, you know, not that big of a deal. In Jewish culture, it was a very big deal. And so Mary, if you think about it, her life was kind of on track, all right? She knew exactly what was going to happen. She was going to be married to Joseph. Her life was pretty much all laid out for her. And then Gabriel interrupted her life. Gabriel came to Mary. God's holy angelic messenger came to Mary with an announcement that threw her life into total chaos. None of us have ever received that kind of an announcement, have we? Oh, of course we have. Probably almost every one of us has received some kind of an announcement in our life that has thrown our life into total chaos. That's not the way things are supposed to work. We've got life pretty well figured out, but then all of a sudden God stepped in. Now, I just want you to understand something about Mary receiving this announcement. Twice in this passage of Scripture, it identifies a time frame, 6 months, at the very first verse that we read, and then a little bit later, the angel says once again, 6 months, Elizabeth was pregnant. Why do you suppose it was so important that Luke establishes a timeline? Well, because this announcement doesn't happen in a vacuum, okay? What's going on with Mary is not just... it's not just dealing with Mary. Mary already probably knew that her relative, who was barren, was going to have a baby. And if you read this, the account of how Elizabeth got pregnant, guess who told, well, didn't tell her, actually told her husband. Guess who told the husband, your wife is going to get pregnant? Gabriel, same angel. Same angel. And so Gabriel is a little bit busy. And 6 months earlier, he had revealed to Zechariah that his wife, Elizabeth, would bear a son. That son would be named John. John also was going to be a child with a purpose. That purpose was to be the forerunner of Christ. And the interesting thing is when Zechariah received this word from the angel Gabriel, the first thing that Zechariah said was, how can I know this for sure? And do you know what happened to Zechariah? God struck him dumb. You are not going to be able to speak until the baby is born. For 9 months, you're not going to say a word. Because you wanted proof. How can I know this for sure? Remember, Zechariah was a man of God. It was his turn to serve in the temple. But his lack of faith was punished and God struck him dumb. So now Gabriel, 6 months later, is visiting Mary. And here's another little tidbit about Mary. We know that she was a virgin. The Bible tells us that. But did you know that every Jewish girl hoped that the fulfillment of the prophecy would happen through her? You remember the prophecy of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. If you were a little Jewish girl, if your parents were Jewish, they would know what these prophecies were. And they hoped and they prayed, Lord, maybe my virgin daughter will be the one that will carry the Christ. I can't imagine that as good Jewish people that Mary's parents didn't think about this possibility. We don't know. But why wouldn't you? Of course, it hadn't happened for 700 years. Virgins had been born, virgins had gotten married, and they had raised their own kids, and life just went on. It hadn't happened, but maybe this year. And so there was Mary, and her reality was that she was pledged, she was kiddushin, she was betrothed to a man named Joseph. She wasn't married, so she was still a virgin. The marriage had not been consummated, and so when Gabriel came to her, he shared with her some really interesting words, beginning with, "You are highly favored. Greetings, favored one." The Greek word for favored has at its root the Greek word for grace, charis. In other words, Mary had received a special measure of God's grace. Why? So that she could brag about it? No. Because she had a mission that she was supposed to fulfill, and the only way that she could fulfill it was through the power of God's grace. That's the only way that it could have happened. Mary had to wonder why she would need this special measure of God's grace, a task that obviously was going to need something special, some kind of favor. And so this troubled her, but she didn't voice that fear. However, the angel Gabriel specifically said, I'm going to deal with this. The Bible does say Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I mean, think about that. An angel comes to you, welcome you who are highly favored. You have a special measure of God's grace. Would you take that as, oh, yeah, no problem? No, all of us, I think, would be a little bit troubled. Mary was no exception. In a minute, the trajectory of her life was going to be dramatically changed. She was going to go from just following the traditions and being betrothed and being married and raising her own family to know and love God as she did to being highly favored by God for a special task. You see, the Bible instantly says Gabriel calmed her fears. Do not be afraid, Mary, Gabriel said. Again, you have found favor with God. Sometimes we need extra convincing that God is with us. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Now, this is just not the way things are done. Okay, I mean, I want you to try to put yourself in Mary's position a little bit. First of all, women don't get pregnant all on their own. It just doesn't work that way. Our bodies were not created that way. Plus, I don't know the gender of the baby that I'm going to have even before it's conceived. It just doesn't work that way, Plus, I'm not going to be the one to give the baby the name. That's the job of the father. And yet, God doesn't deal with our traditions and our conventions very well. He supersedes everything. God doesn't need to follow social convention. He doesn't need to follow the traditions of men or the physical laws that even he put in place. If he wants to supersede all of those or transcend all of those, he can, and he does. And Gabriel doesn't stop with the announcement of what's going to happen. He continues to talk about this child. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Did you count how many times the word will happened in those two verses? This is going to happen. Now, I hate to burst the bubbles of all of those people that love the song, Mary, Did You Know? But and it's a beautiful song, and I appreciate everything, but the answer is yes. Mary did know. You know, when you see the sleeping baby, are you looking at the face of God? She knew. Because Gabriel told her. And again, I appreciate what that song is trying to do. It's just trying to help us to understand the humanness and the impact that this had on Mary. But she knew. And she didn't know that it might happen or it could happen or if everything lines up right, maybe. No. She knew that because of God's grace, she was being called to a special task that would happen. You see, it's amazing that Mary was able to process all of this information instantly. She didn't have to wonder what her baby would do for a career. She didn't have to wonder about his faith or his future or his mission. She didn't have to wonder if God was going to use him. She knew because Gabriel spelled it all out for her. And Mary's reply is really pretty fantastic. How will this be since I'm a virgin? I don't see a lack of faith here at all. Remember Zechariah's response when the angel told him that his wife was going to have a baby? I need to know this for sure. That wasn't Mary's response. Mary's response is, yes, I know this is going to happen, but I'm a virgin. You see, she just desired to understand the next steps. Gabriel reveals that nothing is impossible for God, that the Holy Spirit would impregnate her, that the power of God would overshadow her, and that there would be no question that her baby would be the Son of God. Absolutely none. And then, as if she needed a reminder of God's power to make this occur, Gabriel brought up Elizabeth's pregnancy once again. Mary didn't need any more convincing, but the angel told her, so the Holy One would be the Son of God. And then she replies, okay, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mary's choice to be God's servant came from only one place. It came from the place of faith. And that's the only place it could have come from. And so real quickly, I learned through Mary some really interesting lessons about faith that I just want to share with you. First, faith is not age dependent. You don't have to be at the age of accountability to have faith. In fact, the Bible says if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can do amazing things. Faith is not age dependent. In fact, I think sometimes as adults, we learn out of faith. Kind of like Zechariah. I want to know for sure how this is going to work. But not Mary. And she was way younger. Faith is not age dependent. There are lots of youngsters that are used in Scripture and they are given great tasks. Remember Joseph? He was just a boy. Miriam was just a young girl. She was chasing after her brother down the Nile River. Remember King David, the shepherd boy? King Josiah, age 9, the boy king of Israel? Even Samuel, when he was a boy and was sleeping in the room, heard God call him and went to Eli to say, "What do you want?" All over the Bible, God uses youngsters. Don't let anybody look down upon you because you are young. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Faith is not age dependent. Some of the most amazing faith-filled people don't have a lot of years of wisdom behind them, but they have great faith. The second thing is I think faith leads us into the presence of God. Mary's faith, Gabriel gave Mary a message, and because of her faith, she knew that it wasn't Gabriel's message. It was God's message. Gabriel was just the messenger. He was just the angel that was giving the message. But God was always present in that message. And then not only would God be present in that message, but God would be present in her. You will give birth to a son. You will become pregnant. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. My presence will be with you. That can only happen through faith. And God wants to be involved in the life of his creation. He wants us to welcome him in, and that happens through faith. The third lesson that I learned is that faith doesn't eliminate our choice. God didn't draft Mary. He didn't say, "All right, you're next." And you don't have a thing to say about it. But what faith did do is it allowed Mary to recognize that she was in the presence of the Holy God, that he was giving her grace to be able to handle this favor, this task. She was highly favored, so why would she say no? Why would she choose that? And yet, all over the world, there are people who come into the presence of a holy God, and they know that God is with them, and they know that they can have the grace that they need to be able to accomplish the task, and constantly people are saying, "Yeah, no, I don't think so. It's not for me." Faith doesn't eliminate our choices. And faith is not a one-time decision. You know, there are a lot of people that say, "Well, I was saved by my faith, and that's like the golden ticket. Now I'm done. I don't have to believe anymore." Faith is a constantly growing thing. The Bible talks about maturing in your faith. This is something that has to happen. Faith allows us to continually live for God. Mary had to tell Joseph. She had to tell her family. The baby was going to be in her for 9 months, and then there was raising that child as long as God would allow that child to be on the face of this earth. That was all going to take faith every step of the way. Same with us. You never outgrow the time when you need faith, ever, regardless of what circumstances are going on in your life. The next lesson that I've learned is faith opens doors for service. Mary didn't have to consult her parents. Did you notice that? When Gabriel came, she didn't say, let's put a pin in this right now. I really need to go talk to my rabbi. I need to ask mom and dad if this would be okay for me to be used by God. No. And a lot of us probably would think, well, how disrespectful of Mary. She didn't even consult her parents in this. Really? Is that the way God works? He can, but not always. You see, when the door for service is open, Mary walked through it. She had the opportunity to believe that God's plan of salvation was coming to earth. He would be the Son of God, and she would play a role in that plan of salvation. And so she acted on her faith. You remember what James says about faith? Faith, if it is not accompanied by works, is what? Dead. In order for faith to be alive and vital, you need to blend your faith with what you do. Now, sometimes that means you do have to get some advice and some counsel, but that doesn't always mean that. Faith opens up those doors. And the last lesson that Mary gives me is faith leads to times of great joy. Now, right now, I imagine that she's a little bit troubled. However, once she came to that decision in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said, then the angel left her. I think that's fantastic. The angel didn't need to be there anymore. He had given her the message. She had received the message. By faith, she had accepted the responsibility because she knew that God's grace was on her, and now she could experience that joy. Now she could experience that elation of being used by God in an amazing way. When Gabriel told Mary, don't be afraid, it seems like she needed to replace her fear with something else, and so she chose to replace her fear with joy and with peace. And faith leads us to make some bold, courageous decisions at times, even when the world doesn't understand. I mean, imagine her going to Joseph and saying, honey, guess what? The Holy Spirit is going to come upon me and I'm going to be pregnant with the Son of God. Not everyone wants to make those kinds of statements. It takes faith, and I imagine she experienced great joy. We know that there was times, it says in Scripture, that she even sang a song after she visited Elizabeth. And when she visited Elizabeth, guess what happened to the baby in Elizabeth's womb? Yeah, joy. John the Baptist was actually praising God before he got out of the womb. Let that sink into all of those people that think that abortion is fine. Sorry. The only question for us today is, how are you going to respond? When God calls you to do something for him, how are you going to respond? Because we know that without faith, according to the writer of Hebrews, it is impossible to please God. If we believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him, we need to do that in faith. But our world is telling us, no, you can't live for Christ. You need to make money. You can't live for Christ. You have all of these things going for you. You need to make a difference in this world. You need to be on the trajectory of your life. You need to make sure that you are using all of your skills and your abilities. And you can't be serving God. Well, Satan is very good about convincing us. Don't listen to God. Don't try to please God. And maybe sometimes we, during the middle of the day or the middle of the week or whenever it's December or January or July, maybe we need to read about Mary. You see, what is God calling you to do today? What has he been calling you to do? Maybe we just need to simply follow the example of Mary, not only this Christmas, but every day of our life. And when God interrupts the path and the trajectory of our life, maybe we need to be willing to say, may it be to me as you have said. It takes great faith to be a servant of God.